Hello and welcome back once again for the 117th installment of the Parish of the Patriots. If you're new this first time you listen to the show, maybe you're expecting you heard a rumor. There was a lot of very, evil Haiti things here. Well, you might be disappointed, but then again, you might be in for a real treat. I don't know. We do try to have insightful, lively discussion here on this show. Hopefully things that will mean something to you. And you can take with you and think about and do something with in your life. We do have a Christian-specific segment, the sermon, if you would. That's later on the show. Basically, you can figure the second half of the show is that. And even if you're a non-believer, you might get something out of it. It happens from time to time. But there it is. It's always your choice. If not, hey, if you just absolutely aren't going to listen to that, well, you've got the first part of the show to listen to. So, anyway, hopefully you'll get something out of it. Speaking of getting something out of it, it's time to talk about me getting something out of it by you financially supporting the show. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. This show is supported by you, the listeners, and it is very much appreciated. You can find that information at the bottom of the description page, which probably nobody reads the description page. I do. I write the description page, and I'm sure Sir Longshanks does his best to kind of clean it up. Because, I mean, I'm at this point, I'm like, just basically feel sometimes like writing two lines. I'm like, nobody reads this. They're either going to listen to the show or they're not. But anyway, you can skim down. You don't have to read the description page. Just scroll down to the bottom. You can find the information down there. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got a Monero address. If you've got some other kind of janky cryptocurrency, drop me an email. The email address is down there as well. I'll do my best to get you an address for that. And don't hesitate to drop a note so that we can share it in the listener supporter mailbag, which we are headed right into right now. Mr. TGPD, hope all is well. I'm recuperating and watching Clown World's slow burn, but the burn is speeding up. That's the thing. The burn is no longer very slow. We're just about on the roof. The roof is on fire. I mean, the roof is on fire of, the roof is on fire of Clown World. Triangle Whip, GPD, stay young. Too late for that. I reminded many years ago when I was young, an old guy who now in retrospect is probably about my age now, maybe a little older than I am now. He was, struggling about it. He was bitching about his joint pains or whatever the hell. I don't even remember. And he looks at me and he says, "Take my advice. Don't ever get old." And I remember my reaction at the time, which was, I thought, funny at the time, and I still continue to think it's quite clever, quite witty. And I said, well, considering the alternatives, I think I'm going to go with it. So, yeah, you got no choice. You're either going to die or you're going to get older. And, there's something to be said, perhaps for a little bit of age and wisdom. I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of... I always say, people say, if you could go back and be young again, and I would only take that deal if I could take my current brain with me. I don't want to relearn all those lessons the hard way. The hard way, like I always seem to have to do the hard way. Tony, much appreciated. No note, but it is very much appreciated. And finally, we got one last one here, and this is a little more in depth. This will give us a good jumping off a spot to get into the rest of the show. Hi, Grandpa Dan. Enjoy the show. Born and raised as a Catholic, but no longer one. If the priest I listened to growing up were as honest, insightful, and entertaining as you, I'd be a much better place in my life today. Well, thank you very much. I am humbled. I'm surely humbled. I have a very close friend who I have exposed him to the many lies in both history and our society today. He worked really hard to build a good life, running a small retail business over 20 years and raising 4 children. The last decade has seen so many small businesses go under and many still standing, just barely making ends meet. His business was one of these. The coronavirus hit, and that was the final nail in the coffin. He got desperate because all his assets are tied in with the bank. He, like many, had been living off debt and withdrawing on their assets to stay afloat for many years. But the crunch was now here. He understands that the Western economy is totally fake and based on speculation and usury, but is playing the stock market and cryptocurrency market and is now buying a business out of sheer desperation at a hefty price, putting all his assets on the line to maintain his standard of living in this homoglobo world. He says that this is the system we live in and we can't change it. He asks me to give him an alternative, But I don't have one knowing his situation. Most of us are now so entrenched and dependent on this globalist system where money means more than people. We can't live outside of it. AI is replacing humans, and we in the West are sheep to the slaughter for the wolves. I liken the analogy to fishing. We use bait to catch fish because it's food the fish needs to survive. What happens to the fish once caught? It is killed and eaten. But look at it from the fish's point of view. Would the fish take the bait in the first place if it knew what the consequences would be? However, if the bait was the only food the fish had available, what would it do? I think this scenario is coming very shortly to us. Regards, Joe. And there's just, I say this for a lot, there's a lot of really good stuff in here. So it's worth kind of jumping off into. We'll just segue out of this probably into the whole rest of the show. I don't know. I've got several things I thought we'd discuss this week, but this is a good jumping off point. So I'll just go ahead and pause there to say thank you very much. Again, all of you financially supporting the show. And very much appreciated. So let's go ahead and carry on. And we do. We live, this is such a classic example of people not knowing how to do anything different. You just know to double down. Your friend's life is getting worse over the years, and he's getting poor because of usury. And that's what usury is designed to do, by the way. That's why it's forbidden in both the Quran and the Bible. Because it's designed to do that. There is such a thing as non-usurious way to, that money can be loaned for things such as businesses in a non-usurious manner. But we don't live under that system. We live under a usury system. And your friend has seen his life progressively get worse and go downhill, but he doesn't know any other way. So he's just doubling down. It's like playing a game that the rules are stacked against you. The game is designed from the get-go. You could expand this analogy, by the way, to the entire democracy system. The game is designed from the get-go to force you where you cannot win. And yet thinking that if you double down on the rules and play harder by these same rules, you're going to get a different result, that somehow you're going to win in the end. And yet that hasn't happened. When your friend asks to present an alternative, instead I would counter with saying, well, what are you doing now that's any different than what you've done before? In fact, you're just doubling down. You're just going all in, as it were. It's like sitting there at a poker table and you've been sitting there all night playing poker and you're getting poorer and poorer, losing hand after hand after hand. And now, as the night is dragging on and your chips are getting smaller and smaller, you decide the answer, instead of walking away from the table and not spending the rent money and the car payment money, you shove all in on your hand. We haven't even got to the river yet playing Texas Hold'em, and you decide to shove all your chips all in because it's do or die. It's sink or swim. You're just doubling down on the same thing has gotten you where you are today. I underlined the line to maintain his standard of living in this homo globo world. And that's the thing. Look, basically, by the time this clown car crash is done taking place, nobody is going to maintain their standard of living. I don't see how that happens, at least the way people understand it. You made the point that this society puts money, your value as a human being is placed on what kind of shit you have, what kind of money you have, what how much money in the bank. But really, the money thing is almost superficial. It's about what you have. What kind of house do you live in? What kind of car do you drive? Do you have a boat to go out on the way? All of these things. Because there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of these things and they're broke. A good illustration I like to use to show this to people. Say you've got somebody and they make $5,000 a month. And they have, with all of their debts, at the end of the month, by the time they pay, their bills take $4,950 out of that $5,000 a month to keep all the bills, to make that nice house payment, the new car payment, and the boat payment, or whatever the case may be. They spend $4,950 a month paying all their debts, but they make $5,000 a month. Now you have this other person over here, and he makes $2,000 a month. And his debts amount to $1,000 a month. It costs him $1,000 a month to pay the debts that he has. But he only makes $2,000 a month. Now, at the end of the month, which of those two people makes more money? Because the average person, just off the top of their head, would say, well, obviously the guy that makes $5,000 a month. Everybody would look at the guy that makes $5,000 a month and they would say he makes more money. Because he makes $5,000 a month. Look, he's got a nice brick home. But that's not really the case. The guy that makes $2,000 a month actually makes more money. Why? Because at the end of the month, he has $1,000 left and the other guy's got $50 and no way to buy food, except he has to run it up on his credit card so he can book groceries in the refrigerator. It's all a facade. It's all a facade. You got this money. Look, this guy's making all of this money. He's so drowned in debt. He's in the negative. He's so far in the red. But we don't know another way of thinking because we've lived under this system for so long. People can't even grasp. Can't even grasp something different. And they're desperate. As your friend here is, he's desperate. He doesn't know any different. Instead of stopping and going, well, I keep doing the same thing and it gets a worse and worse result. Maybe doubling down isn't the right answer. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're really clever, there is a way you could borrow money to make money. I mean, if you can borrow money at 5% interest and make 10% interest off somebody else's money and you don't have to put your own money in there, that's a great thing. Most people can't and will not be able to do that. And this system has become more and more corrupt to the point that they're not going to allow you to do that. I make probably, I would venture to say that I make less money now than I have since I was a teenager. I'm sorry, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, adjusted for inflation or whatever the case may be, I mean, a lot of you would laugh probably at how I somehow get by. And yet, I'm doing okay. And why? Why am I doing okay? Well, because for years now, and it took years before shit storms in my life came down, I started trying to do something different, which was start paying bills off. Start getting out of the debt. The way I lived my life before is like everybody else. Man, once I get this paid off, once I get that note paid off, that'll be $400 a month that isn't going out anymore. Then what? Then I can go borrow the money for a newer car or for whatever. I had the same mindset as everybody else. I ain't special. I'm not super enlightened. When you hear me say something and people go, wow, you know, and I will. I'll have people say, man, you made that point. That is so awesome. You know, look, I'm not enlightened. I learned all this shit the hard way by doing the same dumb shit everybody else does. I'm going to tell you right now, don't expect too much out of me. I don't consider myself smarter than anybody else. I learned all this shit the hard way. I'd go out and, wow, I finally got this paid off. Now I can borrow more money. Woohoo! Buy more toys. Buy more shit. New shiny things. You get to the point to where every week when you sit down to pay bills and at the end of the day, you're sitting there going, well, you know what I'm talking about. You're sitting here writing the check out and you're like, well, let's see, that's due on Friday. I'll rail the check on Wednesday because I got a check coming in Friday and it all ought to hit the bank right about the same time. And I'll float through to next week and I have no idea how I'm going to get through next week, but somehow it'll all work out. You know what I'm talking about. It's a really shitty feeling when you got to go to the grocery store and buy your groceries and there ain't enough money in the bank so you use your credit card. Let me tell you something. When you're down to buying groceries on your freaking credit card, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But I finally, the light went off in my head that this way I'd been living my life really wasn't very smart and wasn't really working out real well because, yeah, I had some shiny things, toys, whatever, to look at, but I didn't have any money. I didn't have the money to go do anything. I didn't have the money to do the things I wanted to do. And so, yeah, maybe time for something different. Start trying to pay things off. And I've been doing that, and I was doing that for some time. Then a great turmoil came in my life. And then, you know, and I've continued down that road. So now, yeah, I mean, if, like I said, if I told y'all how much money I make a year, most of you would laugh. But, you know, I still managed to, okay, I mean, In a lot of ways, I'm financial. I hate to say that because then people be like, well, I don't need to support the show. Sounds like you're doing okay. Hell, you know, live on dirt. But But no, really, I'm doing all right because I did something different. In other words, the system is designed to destroy you. The usury is a system that just keeps you further and further. You've got to abandon the mindset. You've got to do something different. In other words, you're not going to get a different result by doing the same thing, and your friend is just doing the same thing again and again. Now, let's be practical. Let's be sitting there and say, well, that's all well and good, but how the hell do you get out of debt? I mean, yeah, how do you do it? Well, here's the mindset to have. Nobody in this shit show economy is going to give you a raise except you. You're the only one that can give you a raise. Every time you pay something off, you gave yourself a raise. So if you decide, okay, hey, you know, all right, what am I got to do? How do I start paying? I don't even know where to start. I don't hardly have any money. Well, more than likely, when you've been living poor for a long time, because you know what I mean. You know these people and they're poor all the time. Poor, 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 poor. And then they get a quote unquote tax refund and they get like $3,000 tax refund and they blow it. And you laugh at those people. It's like, man, they blew through that. And now they're broke again. They ain't got nothing to show for it. But see, that's what happens when people get so in their mind. It's so depressing. It's so oppressive to just be broke all the freaking time. That when you get a little money, it's like, wow, now we can go out to eat. Now we can go do the things that other people get to do. We never get to do because we're always freaking broke. And you kind of just try to jump ahead and live a non-broke lifestyle. But then it runs out and you're back at the broke lifestyle. You know? It just, people get so oppressed, so depressing that like they get a little money and they just want to jump ahead and finally I can live different. But the problem is if you don't fix the underlying conditions, you ain't different. You just blow through the $2,000 you got on your tax refund and then you're back to being broke again. So you start with the easiest payoff bill. Say you've got you owe on a house. Say your mortgage is, you owe $40,000 still on your mortgage. I don't know. I've just picked a random number. That's not, you owe $20,000 on your car. You know, that's a pretty steep hill to climb. And you've got three credit cards that you owe various amounts on. Well, okay. Look at your credit cards then. Which one do you owe the least on? Well, this one here, I only owe $1,500 on it. I was planning to use it to go out this weekend. Well, that's the one. That's the easiest one to pay off. You know, and that's the one everybody overlooks because that's the way the system's designed. See, if you talk about paying bills off, they're like, well, it won't make a difference in my life unless I can pay off that $40,000, you know, that I have left on my mortgage that cost me $1,200 a month. It won't make any difference. And then it's an insurmountable hill because you don't have $40,000 to pay off that mortgage. No, no, you have to start on the other side of that. Look at the $1,500 bill that you owe. And you did. That's the one everybody blows up. Well, that don't cost me but $20 a month minimum payment. I don't even miss that. That's the one you ignore. There's your opportunity. When you get your $2,000 quote-unquote tax refund, you take that money and pay off that $1,500. Because let me tell you, it may be $20 a month, and you ain't never paying that shit off. And if you do, by the time you do, it'll be $4,000 because that's how usury works. Pay off the $1,500 because you know what you just did? It may just be $20, but you just gave yourself a $20 a month raise. Your boss ain't giving you that. Just gave yourself a $20 a month raise. Every time you get some money, then hit the next one up on the scale. What's the next easier one to pay off? Well, this one I owe $2,500. That's the one you're going to pay next. Don't worry about that mortgage that's $40,000 because you're paying lower interest on that anyway. Yeah, you need to take care of that, but you'll get there because you've probably got more going to your principal now than what you are on these credit cards. And they're going to be easier for you to pay off because it's probably smaller amounts and they're bleeding you more dry. So you pay the next one off and say your minimum payment on it was $30 a month. And that's all your ass was making as a minimum payment. You ain't fooling nobody. So now you've paid two off. Now you've got a total of $50 a month you've given yourself as a raise. If you view this as giving yourself a pay raise, You will get a feeling that you're rewarding yourself. You gave yourself appreciation because how you feel. Your boss comes to you and says, man, you're doing a good job. I'm giving you a raise. You feel appreciated, right? Well, you can give yourself. You are appreciating yourself because you just gave yourself a raise. And, you know, like the old saying, a penny saved is a penny earned. But it's true. If the money isn't going out and now it's in your account, it's the same thing as if you got a raise at work. That's the only way you're getting a raise in this shit show economy. And if you keep pecking away at it, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You didn't get in debt overnight. Well, you might have, but you collected these debts over a lot of years, a lot of these different debts over a lot of years. You peck away at them, peck away, and you get the chance to. And, you know, there might be times you could use, you know, like they have things like these consolidation loans. You know, gosh, I guess I should do that whole legal caveat. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't give financial advice. I'm just telling you how things work for me, have worked for me. I'm just relaying my personal opinions and experiences. I'm not a professional. Do not hold this, you know, all of that shit. But if you can, let's say you owe a total on all of your credit cards, $10,000. We're going to take a round number, $10,000. All those credit cards, you're paying anywhere between 20 and 30% interest on that $10,000. That's an ungodly amount of interest. You got five different credit cards all together. You owe $10,000 on those credit cards. And you may think, well, I don't owe that much, but you don't realize it because you owe this over here. If you get all your credit cards together, add that shit up. See how much you owe all together. You'll probably be blown away. You'll be like, I didn't realize I owed that much on these credit cards. You're paying between 20 and 30% interest. Now, you know, don't make the mistake to think you can borrow your way out of debt. And people do that. It sounds silly to say it out loud, but people will. They'll think they can borrow themselves out of debt. They'll what? Just like our tax refund analogy or illustration earlier. They'll borrow money somehow on something. You know, borrow money against their house. They owe $40,000 on the mortgage and the house is worth $100,000. They'll wind up borrowing another $40,000 against their house, second mortgage. And they'll what? Oh, I'm not broke anymore. I got $40,000 in the bank. They think they're not poor anymore. You can't borrow your way out of poverty. However, if you could take a consolidation loan, maybe the interest is 12%. Still shitty. But if you can take that and pay those credit cards off, you're not paying 25% interest anymore. And you're only making one payment. It can at least give you, you know, a starting point. But that only works if you quit using the credit cards. I mean, if you do that and then turn around and start running the credit cards up again, you're just filling the sinking boat up with sand, with more water. You know, you're going to have some self-discipline there. I mean, there are any number that, but you got the bottom line is the debt is why you're broke. So you've got to start pecking away at it. You got to start chipping away at it. At the end of the day, you can live on a whole lot less money. We have this in our heads that you got to have all this money to have a decent living. If I was making $5,000 a month, well, then I could afford to go out on the weekends. I could afford to take my family on a nice vacation. Well, no, you can't if you're spending $4,950 servicing your debts. On the flip side, if you make $2,000 a month and you have zero debts, yeah, you could probably once in a while afford to take your family on vacation. Now, I'm just throwing numbers around out here. But the point is, the debts are what's bleeding you dry. Most everybody bitches about how much money they don't make, including myself. But at the end of the day, most of the time, the problem isn't the money you make. The problem is the debt. And you have to understand, everybody's in that situation. The whole economy is based off of this scam. You see all these people, you think they're doing good, driving through their nice neighborhood. Man, I wish I had a house like that. You don't know what guy sits there at night, sweating at his desk, trying to figure out how the hell he's going to make these bills. A lot of people like that. You just see the nice house on the outside. You think, man, he living large. That guy's laying awake at 2:00 in the morning. Why his wife is still demanding more. I want a newer car. This car's 3 years old. What are you going to do about it? He's laying awake, sweating at night, wondering how the hell he's going to pay these bills. You driving by, you just see the house. You're like, man, they people making all the money, and here I am. At the end of the day, it's how much money do you have? How comfortable are you? You know, this is outrageous news. The average American doesn't have the money in the bank to deal with a $400 emergency. Yeah, We've all been there. I have been there. You have been there. You may be there now. That system's designed to do that to people. Because if people are all in bondage under debt, they can't rock the boat. They can't make no waves. They'll go along to get along because they got to make that mortgage payment. They got that pretty wife, but that bitch is going to leave the minute she don't get a new car every 3 years. Those are people that are going to do whatever, say whatever, go along with whatever the hell to try to keep their quote-unquote lifestyle, that level of lifestyle going. The whole economy is based on this system. I always think about the price of new cars, you know. I do. I always think about it because I'm old enough now. I'm old enough. Of course, I live in Texas. You talk about going and looking at new vehicles. Can we used to do that? Maybe you still do it once in a while. It's fun. Go on a Sunday, you know, when they're closed. And just walk around, look at new vehicles. You know, well, it's Texas, so we look at pickups, you know. Walk around, look at the new pickups. And it's like, oh, man, that's a nice new pickup. And then you look over there at that sticker price. You're like, woo! I remember walking around. As a young person, looking at a new pickup. I remember I looked at a new pickup one time. Oh, I wanted that thing so bad. It's blue and white, two-tone, GMC. Because half-ton, long bed, regular cab. Because ain't nobody hardly bought four doors back then. Extended cabs were basically not even a thing. And man, I'm looking at this pickup. It's so pre-decked out. Carpet, power windows, cloth seats. Beautiful pickup. The massive 305 cubic inch smogged out engine that probably made a total of 50 horsepower at the wheel. God, it's a nice pickup. Had a little square hood ornament on the end. You know what I'm talking about? Say GMC on it. God, I wanted that pickup. That thing cost $13,000, just shy of $13,000. I think it was $12,800. It could be yours today. $12,800. You go look at a new pickup today and you're starting base-ass level at $50,000. That's how much this stuff goes. Why? How many people are going down here and writing a check for $50,000 for a pickup? Base model shit to boot. Nobody. They're all borrowing the money. The system is based on that. Those cars, those pickups are not priced on in dollars. You think they are because that's what the show's on there, $50,000, right? They're not. They're priced on debt. That's what they're selling them on. What kind of payment can you afford? How much money can you borrow? 99.99% of the people that go buy a new car, new pickup, they ain't writing a check for it. They're borrowing the money for it. That's why they can ask $50,000 for it, because people are borrowing. But it's kind of like the healthcare thing. If the healthcare system, they always talk about, we gotta do something about the healthcare system, only they won't. Because they're all profiting from the healthcare system, just as they're profiting from the usury system when you go to buy a new pickup. The very people that profit from it, the very middle management that gets their salary and kickbacks from the corporations and the banks from it, come out and say, we're going to fix it. No, they're not. They answer to the board of directors. We fix the healthcare system. Well, all you would have to do if you wanted a crash course in fixing the healthcare system is outlaw health insurance. No, not come up with Obamacare where we have a quote-unquote insurance marketplace. No, insurance is the problem. You see, if you canceled health insurance, then the healthcare providers could only charge what people could pay and the prices would crash. Of course, then these doctors that have a, you know, he's a specialist cardiologist and he has three homes in the Bahamas, he wouldn't be able to afford no freaking three homes in the Bahamas because he couldn't charge the rates that he does. Healthcare is priced in insurance. How much insurance can you afford a month? Only now that too is getting tapped out. You get a shit tier plan and it's costing you $400-$600 a month, you know, to cover you in case something happens. But what if nothing happens? Well, I'm going to spend myself into poverty so that in case something happens. Shit. It's just crazy. It's crazy. It's the same system. You can't buy a new pickup by writing a check. If you're going to have a new pickup, you got to borrow that money. That's what it's priced in. Healthcare is priced in insurance. New pickups are priced in debt. So what does that mean to you? It means your ass ain't getting a new pickup unless you're going to go into debt. And you've got to accept that. The listener here, his friend is what? Struggling to maintain the status quo. You got to let go of the status quo. Status quo is what's killing you. These things aren't making you happy. They're making you miserable. They're keeping you up at night because you can't pay your bills. A lot of people kill themselves because they owe so much debt. Think about that. Just end your life because I can't pay the banksters. You walk away and be a damn hobo somewhere. Screw the bankers. What the hell? Screw them. You're going to end your life because you can't pay Goldman Sachs? Really? You're going to off yourself because you can't make this payment. Got to pay the banker man. Go be a beach bum somewhere. Screw it. You know? You ain't going to get a new pickup. You can't maintain the status quo. You got to do a new mindset. And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard for someone like I'm old. Well, I'm not. I don't know. I'm not old. You know, I'm in my early 50s. To me, I feel old because I remember when I was in my 20s. And when I was in my 20s, I could go buy a new pickup. I had a steady job. I could afford to go buy a new pickup. Not like all the time, but I could afford to go buy a new pickup. I had to borrow the money. So I guess I couldn't really afford it. But I could borrow the money. It was reasonable enough that I could go buy a new pickup. I can buy a new pickup now. And here I've got all these years. And now where am I at? If I judge the value of my life simply on what I can buy, then my life has gone to shit. And it's hard to get that mindset because that's how, as a society, we're told our value is. We're told our value lies in what can you go buy? What can you contribute to the system? We really are nothing but livestock to this entire system. But in a lot of ways, we create the fences ourselves. We go along with it voluntarily. We're like cattle that don't have any fence. We could just wander off if we wanted to, but we're scared to death. We can't picture another way. Everybody wants to fix this shit without, you know, giving anything up, you know, and it's human nature. I'm not saying that like you're lesser of a person because, you know, you want these situations in your life fixed, but you don't want to give anything up. That we all feel. None of us want to give anything up. But at the end of the day, you are. At the end of the day, you're going to have to give something up. You got to do something different. The listener here describes his friend's situation, and at the end of the day, it's destroying his life. He's going further and further in the hole, trying to maintain the status quo, which anybody with an eye can see is not sustainable. He's not going to be able to maintain it. He's just doubling down like a drug addict doing more heroin. That's going to make things better. At the end of the day, yeah, you're going to have to give some stuff up. But you can't have freedom from the system. You're not going to get to buy a new car. You're not going to get to have a nice house as everybody else. Maybe you think everybody else has. But the more free from the system you become, I believe the better your life will be. Because it's bondage. It's slavery. This is how they keep you going along. If a guy is making that $5,000 a month and paying $4,950 in debts, and his job, his workplace comes in and announces that you're getting the COVID vaccine or you ain't got a job, that guy might think it's the total mark of the beast and it's deadly and he don't want to take it. Don't matter. At the end of the day, he'll take that shit because he got to pay them bills. You see, that's the control. The more you're dependent on that, the more you're dependent, the more you're trapped in on this system, the more control they have. Guy has no bills. Be like, well, screw you. I can go do whatever and get by. I ain't taking that shit. But the guy who's sitting there and got a quote-unquote good-paying job, he's going to do whatever he's told because he's got to try to maintain. He's barely keeping afloat now. The whole bottom will fall out if he loses his job. That's one of the purposes of the system. We're going to wrap up on that note. We get into our Christian-specific segment this week, the sermon. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. It's time for our Christian-specific segment this week here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as you get settled in, nice and cozy here at the congregation, all ready for this week's Christian-specific segment, a.k.a. the sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. I thought we'd do something a little different, kind of a back-to-basics thing. Because when I started doing these, really getting focused on the Christianity stuff here, you know, it really all started because, you know, doing shows and no secret that I'm a Christian believer. And I would have people contact me, you know, well, what about this? What about that? And I don't understand this. And usually 9 times out of 10, these were just antichrist talking points. I'm not saying that's what the people approaching me, but they've been hit with these and they didn't know the answers. But usually the question wound up being, you know, the question to one's faith wound up being these antichrist talking points that quite honestly have been around pretty much forever. And so, you know, I would wind up answering, but in so doing, you know, because I didn't ever feel like, and I still don't necessarily feel like I'm doing anything big and profound. I felt like, you know, man, I'm answering, you know, it's like these were basic questions. And I found it surprising that people didn't have the answer to it. And I had to start wondering, well, what are these churches even doing out here? I mean, that they're not answering these basic questions. You have so many people that don't know the answers to these questions. I mean, these are things that churches should cover on a regular basis that you're drilled in and people basically have complete immunity to. But obviously they weren't doing that. And I would answer people's questions. And then these things, just basically common sense. I don't think God makes things overly complicated for us. I think we really have a pretty simple, clear-cut path, clear-cut way forward that we're supposed to do, these things we're supposed to do. And he does that. He doesn't overcomplicate it. And yet, so many people are confused, and these churches aren't answering any of these questions. They're too busy chasing after approval from the world, saying the latest things that are approved, saying things, trying to motivate people and say popular things so people put more money in the offering plate so they can do their new expansion project or whatever the case may be. But here lately, we've kind of gone into more of a traditional, like, preaching thing. You know, we go to our Bibles and read some verses and go from there and understand, you know, try to understand it that way. But I just thought this week we'd kind of go back to the basics in that we're just going to kind of have a general discussion about our lives as Christian people in these utterly insane times that we live in. Because these are just, you really have to understand that there's so many facts. I can't even cover all of the different ways that this is not normal, this society we live in. And I mean, I think really a lot of people get that on a certain level. I wonder how many people who are, you know, I don't know, commies, lefties, whatever you want to call them, that on a certain level they realize we're off in uncharted territory from the norm, and it's so scary they just tell themselves that's because we're headed to somewhere better. We're headed to somewhere better because they thought that we're headed to somewhere completely, really insanely bad is just too frightening for them to accept. So they say, oh, well, we're heading to something better. I don't know, I'm just talking about the run-of-the-mill people, the people that plan this, organize these things, and fund this destruction of norms, this destruction of society, these workers of Satan. I mean, they don't think that. They believe they are basically smarter than God and have a new way that it's just going to, by pure coincidence, benefit them. But, just run-of-the-mill people. I wonder if some of these run-of-the-mill people realize on a certain instinctual level that we're headed so far off into something different, something far away from the norm. And it's frightening. So they just tell themselves, they allow themselves to be convinced that must mean it's going to be something better because the alternative is a really scary thing. But we're way far removed from the norm. And there's just so many, like I said, in every aspect of our lives, of the world around us, I mean, we deal with temptations in this world that people didn't deal with in the Old Testament times, that people weren't dealing with when Jesus walked the earth. I mean, they might have been dealing with like a minor version of that, but I mean, it wasn't on this large scale, wasn't this large scale thing such as we have now. And the thing is, in all of this confusion and all this chaos around us, and you have to remember that Satan is the bringer of chaos. The Lord is the way of order. Satan brings chaos. Satan is a destroyer. God builds. And so, you know, you say, a lot of people spout off and say, this world we live in, this nation is satanic. And it just sounds like a soundbite. And maybe even the people who say that don't even fully understand, you know, I mean, what they're saying is true, but they don't understand why it's true. I mean, they can look at things like child trannies and say, that's satanic. But they don't understand, you know, how the society itself is literally and why it is literally satanic. And the first big clue to that is the chaos. Satan himself is a bringer of chaos. He's a destroyer. We're told in the Bible he is a murderer. From the beginning, he lies. That is his native language. There is no truth in him. And you think, you know, someone is a murderer, somebody that there's no truth. Imagine how chaotic it would be if you lived with somebody and all they could do was lie. I mean, they literally could never tell the truth, but you were stuck in the house with them. I mean, it's like you couldn't get away from them. They were around you all of the time, living in your house. And how chaotic that would be for the people around you. Everybody would be all messed up and people would be mad at each other because they talk to they talk to Satan in room 405 and he told them that you said this about him. You know, it would be chaotic. But you have to understand that Satan is the bringer of chaos. The Lord is the way of order. The society we live in around us is satanic. Then when people spout that off, they're telling the truth. They may not understand exactly specifically why it's satanic, but it's satanic at a foundational level because we live in total chaos. There is no order. I've said this so many times, but there's no set rules. There are no set rules and they're changing all the time. Just looking at free speech, for instance, you know, what are you allowed to say today? Well, there's a whole long list of things you're not allowed to say as far as what you are allowed to say, aside from something that promotes the anti-white hate agenda. Nobody really knows. It's blurry because things you were allowed to say, you know, 4 or 5 years ago are now off limits today. And it creates a sense of chaos because people don't know. People tweeted something 5 years ago and you know, nobody was upset about it. Nobody cared. In fact, it was a pretty lame normie post. But now here we are fast forward 5 years later. And that same person, if they say rise to some sort of prominence in the community, somebody might dig that up. And now today it's controversial and totally off limits. You're not allowed to do that. And their lives get canceled and destroyed. Over it. It creates this constant sense of chaos. I always say that I think for people that are actually a part of this chaotic movement, this run around looking for things to be eternally offended about and triggered about, and we've got to cancel this person. We have to socially attack them. And oh my gosh, this is so out of the norm. I always think they must really live in a scary world because it could be them next. They always have to know that the axe is hanging over their heads too. They could be the one that trips up and says something that's not allowed, not even intending to. They thought they were virtue signaling, but they accidentally stepped on a landmine, and now they themselves are the target. Chaos, chaos, chaos. It is satanic because Satan is the bringer of chaos. We live in a post-legal society. I mean, we do. We know, you know, from... we're always hearing about how the new God science is what everybody needs to follow, but the science, quote unquote, said that George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose. I mean, that is literally what the science says. But Derek Chauvin is in prison now for murder because he supposedly killed him by putting his knee on his back or his shoulder or his neck or whatever. I mean, we know from the autopsy report, I mean, he died of a drug overdose. He had multiple times the lethal dose in his system. But it doesn't matter. And you see, this brings chaos. When you look through the Old Testament judgment times, one of the things that would really piss God off is when judges would take bribes and justice would be removed from the people. And basically, when somebody, for instance, says, you know, say they could pay the right people off and they don't go to jail, they don't go to prison, they don't get in trouble, but everybody else, the hammer drops on them. It creates chaos because people, though, they can't trust in the court system. Would any of you listening this today, if you were thrown into the meat grinder that is the U.S. judicial system, could you say, any of you, could you say with confidence that, oh, well, it's okay because the truth is on my side and I'll win in court easily? I don't think any of you could say. I certainly wouldn't dare to say that. Justice, the truth has nothing to do with anything in the U.S. court system, in the U.S. legal system. And this breeds chaos. If you can just simply be accused of something and drug into the court, and the truth, though it be on your side, has nothing to do with it, then there's no hope in the legal system. It's just whichever way the winds blow this week. You might get lucky, and the truth might bear you out, and you might get out. Well, you won't get out unscathed. Your life will still be destroyed. You know, whenever somebody gets lucky and the truth comes through and they get found, say, not guilty of something, and everybody says, well, he got off with it. He got off with being not guilty because the mob wanted him to be thrown in prison because that was, you know, he said the wrong things, whatever the case may be. But here's the thing. They don't get off. I mean, even if a person like that gets found not guilty, their lives are still destroyed. They're still financially ruined. You know, they're still basically unemployable. What do they do then? But you might, quote unquote, get off. You might not get convicted if you're lucky. However, if you've got a mob outside and people and politicians going out in the streets and essentially saying they're going to burn the city down if they don't find you guilty, then you're going to prison. That's all there is to it. If you've said things that they can bring up, I hear Sir Longshanks, he does these shows because things are so bad in Britain, and you can hand out totally legal flyers, you know, promoting just basic nationalist concepts. We're not talking about hardcore shit posting here. We're talking just basic, you know, very very socially acceptable nationalist ideas. But if the police find out you handed the pamphlets out, they can go out and comb through your social media and, oh, well, 3 years ago you said this, so we have decided that your intent is to promote racial hatred, and now you're in deep trouble. It's chaotic. There's no justice. That's not justice. Come on. The courts are deciding that what was in your mind at the time when you were doing something perfectly legal. And even though the actions you did were perfectly legal, we think that what was in your mind was not perfectly legal because you had some emotion of hatred and you were trying to promote this emotion of hatred. That is chaotic. It doesn't make any sense. A court can't decide what was in somebody's mind. The hate crime laws, which just say that basically the courts can decide what was going on in your mind instead of judging the actual actions you take. It's all chaos because now there's no order. There's no hope of going into the court system and clearing your name because, you know, the truth is on your side. The truth has nothing to do with it, far from it. Everybody in that courtroom, if you have the wrong ideas and the wrong opinions and you oppose the oligarch regime, everybody in that courtroom is going to be working 24/7 to obscure the truth, to twist the truth, to turn it into something else. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody aside from you, the defendant, because even your lawyer is probably at the end of the day going to be putting forth, let's say, a less than stellar effort to be generous about it. Yes, these are satanic times, not just because, look, child trannies. Look, they're normalizing, you know, they're normal, basically on the road to normalizing pedophilia. Yes, those are individual, you know, horrible, wicked things, but that in and of itself doesn't make it a satanic society. It's all just, that's just one of the ingredients, one of the little things. It's, we live in a satanic society, satanic world around us because of the sheer amount of chaos. Satan is like a tornado that blows through your town and just wrecks everything. A tornado doesn't go through your town and look, oh, we had this really shitty neighborhood in town and this tornado blew through and guess what happened? All the shitty houses blew away and new ones were in the path of the tornado. You look at the sheer wonderfulness of this tornado. It built new houses. No, that sounds silly. And it is silly because a tornado can't build new houses. A tornado can only destroy things. That's all it can do. Satan is the tornado in your neighborhood. He doesn't build anything. So we know we live in a satanic society because of all of the chaos. We know chaos is from Satan. And yet these same people who are working on Satan's agenda are telling us over and over again, don't worry, we're headed to a better world. When the tornado gets done ravaging your neighborhood, if you survive, you're going to have a new house. The tornado is going to build you a new freaking house. You're going to get a universal basic income and you won't even have to work and everything will be great. You're going to have no debt and you know, you'll own nothing, but it's going to be great. You're going to love us. Trust us. The tornado is here for your benefit. Satan is the tornado. He just destroys. Satan is not going to build you a better world. He couldn't if he wanted to, and he doesn't. He doesn't want to. He can only destroy. This is all he can do. He's not going to build a better world. If you're of this, I keep saying it. I hate the leftist, rightist terms because they're really obsolete now, but we're still stuck with them because we have to hang a label on something. If you're of this leftist persuasion and you think that once the Great Reset happens, your life is going to be less shitty than it is now, I've got news for you. The tornado's not building you a new apartment and giving you a great, you know, pretty girlfriend. It can only destroy. That's all it can do. It's not going to build you a nicer life. It doesn't want to, and it can't if it did want to, which it doesn't. You're going to get death on a massive scale, destruction on a massive scale, oppression on a massive scale. On a massive scale. They tell this lie because Satan is a liar. They tell this lie to black people that if you just do something about whiteness, if these white people are the reason that your lives are shitty around you, and your lives are going to be better once you do something about white people. But yet, on average, black people in America still have a better standard of living than black people in Africa. And white people aren't running Africa. So, yes, once again, it's another lie. They're going to oppress and destroy the lives of black people, too. They're just telling them something different. Their lives aren't going to get better because they wreck the lives of white people. They're going to wreck the lives of everybody. I can't say that enough. Look, this is an unapologetically pro-white show. You know, oh my gosh, that's so scary. How dare you say that? It's an unapologetically pro-white show. But it's fundamentally, this is a unapologetically pro-truth show. And the fact of the matter is, they're not planning to bring anybody up. If you're useful right now, they'll tell you that as they work in their anti-white hate agenda. And if you're useful in the anti-white hate agenda, they'll tell you whatever the hell they need to tell you. But they're not planning to make your life better. They're not planning to make the lives of anybody better. Nobody except themselves. Except those that see themselves at the top of the food chain. You see, they're your superiors. They've got this all thought out. And their plans are always going to come back to the same thing. They're going to own everything. They are going to lord over the world. Essentially, they're like gods in their own minds. So deep, so based is their blasphemy. They're gods in their own mind. They will destroy everybody. As they see through their anti-white hate agenda, they're going to destroy the whole world and everybody in it. They're going to wreck everybody's life, and everybody will live in constant chaos, constant turmoil. As they've weeded white people out of these systems, has any of this gotten any better? You see, they're just destroying things. It's what the devil does. When this is all said and done, he's not building new apartments in the black neighborhood. That's getting destroyed. The tornado is not going to build something new. Not in the black neighborhoods, not in the white neighborhoods, not in the Mexicans' neighborhood, not in anybody's neighborhood. He just destroys. It's just if you're useful and they think they can manipulate you and use you for their agenda, they'll tell you that's what you're going to get. They'll tell you the reason you don't have these things is because white people are evil. But at the end of the day, you're not going to get the things. They insinuate, they may even outright tell you that you will get those things, but it's a lie. We're told very clearly in our Bibles that we do not struggle against flesh and blood. We struggle against princes, kingdoms, principalities. What that means is this is a spiritual battle. It is satanic. at its core. Yes, there are earthly things as a part of that. Obviously, we're living in the temporal realm, the realm of time. So obviously, we're going to be dealing with those things on the surface. But understand, this is a spiritual battle. And it is so important to always remember that, because this constant chaos will destroy your mind. We already see people, doing crazy shit every day. You know, you read about people doing crazier and crazier stuff every day. Why? Well, because it's an attack on people's minds. And obviously, as this continues to grow, this cancer of chaos in our society continues to grow, those at the fringes are going to snap first, and they have been for a while. But more and more, what you thought were normal people are going to start breaking down. People that you know, I mean, you see these things on the news and, oh, in some other state, some other town somewhere, somebody did some crazy shit. And you're like, wow, but it's not personal for you. But as this chaos continues to expand and grow, people around you, people that you personally know, are going to wind up at some point losing their shit and going and doing crazy things. You don't want it to be you. Well, how do you keep it from being you? You have to understand that this is, at its heart, at its core, this is a spiritual battle. The chaos around you is the tornado. It is Satan at work. When you understand that and you grab a hold, you ground yourself in Christ. If you got one and you got a tornado coming, what do? You go get your ass in the storm cellar. You get in the storm cellar. And try to weather that tornado out. You try to seek protection. Let me tell you, Jesus is going to be your protection. If you're a non-believer, you may mock that. You may snicker at that. You may say what you want. But while you're out there getting your ass tore up, blowed around in the chaos, and losing your shit because you just can't take it anymore, and those of us that are buckled down in the storm cellar, surviving because we understand what is happening around us. We understand this isn't just, wow, the wind is up a little bit today. We understand it's a tornado. You got to get in shelter. You got to do what you can to protect yourself. You better start protecting your mind. You better start protecting your spirit. And you can't do that of yourself. That comes from Jesus. You got to take refuge in weather and Jesus. It's the only thing that's going to hold your shit together. Now, I used the illustration of hunkering down in the storm cellar, but don't misunderstand. Hunkering down doesn't mean simply you just don't do anything. All a part of taking that shelter means you continue to hold to the truth. And maybe this is one of the points that maybe it's a little too nuanced for the MCC and their very basic motivational message shit that they push today to help people understand. So let's work on this nuanced message. Understand that huddling down, taking shelter from the tornado in Jesus doesn't mean you're sitting around with a blanket over your head waiting for Jesus to fix it. Your part of your shelter is your action, and you continue to hold to the truth. And the more the chaos swirls around you, the more you're going to have to cling to that truth, because that chaos is going to suck you up if it can. The chaos is going to suck you up if it can do it. It's going to suck you up in its nonsense. You got to hold fast to that truth. You're going to speak that truth. You're going to hold to that truth. You're not going to take the truth and just let go of it, because the minute you let go of that truth, and the truth is Jesus, you are going to get sucked up in the tornado right along with everybody else. You're going to get destroyed right along with everybody else. You know, hold fast to that truth. That is what they're going to hold fast to. And people sit there and mock you. Anybody that's listening to this is a non-believer and goes, well, you're just basically said, hold fast to truth. What the hell does that even mean? You're not going to do anything. You're just, look, you know as well as anybody that one of the most revolutionary things, if not the most revolutionary do something things you can do in this chaotic world around you, most dangerous things, honestly, one of the most dangerous things you can do is speak the truth. Let that soak in for a minute. People, you got to do something. Let me tell you what, this is a spiritual battle. The devil is what? A liar. So what's going to be your weapon? The truth. What are they going to come after you for? What are you going to get persecuted for? What are they going to hassle you for? What are they going to try to cancel your life for and get you fired for? The truth. The truth is the weapon you wield. The truth is the thing they really do fear the most. They don't fear this fantasy of quote unquote do something like, what, you're going to start a militia with 20 guys and overturn the government. That's stupid. They aren't afraid of that. They're not running around canceling. In fact, that stuff feeds the narrative. They sit here and create this narrative. And look, look, these evil people, these evil white supremacists, they were planning something with their 20 guys. They were going to try to overthrow the government. That is just so useful to them. What are they running around canceling people for? What are they really upset about? Truth tellers, truth seekers. Hold to Christ, get in the storm shelter. That means you're holding to the truth. That means you're speaking the truth. You're promoting the truth. And that is what they fear. That is what they hate. That is what they will persecute you for. They'll dress it up as something else. They'll market it as something else. But at the end of the day, you're going to be persecuted for the truth. But that is also your greatest weapon. We got to wrap up here, but I just want to say it again. The truth is what's going to keep you grounded. The truth is what's going to be your shelter. You might be, things are just going to get more chaotic and more crazy. And you may be sitting here fine today, but it could very well, if you don't hold on to that truth, if you aren't weathering the shelter by holding on to, grasping onto the truth, which is Jesus Christ, you, yes, you might be the one losing their shit next year at this time. You might be the one to get sucked up in the tornado and spit back out in pieces. You've got to hold to that truth. That's what's going to keep it together for you. It's what's going to provide a path forward for you out of the chaos. Because as crazy as things are, they're only going to get... Is anybody out there looking at the direction things are going and go, it's okay, next year at this time, things will be better. No, the trajectory is down the toilet. The trajectory is things are going to get more crazy. Things are going to get more insane. Things are going to get more chaotic. Things are going to get more satanic. Anyway, we got to wrap up on that note. Hopefully you got something, it's a little something different. I mean, the goal any of the time we do the Christian specific segment, the sermon, if you would, on this show. I mean, the idea is always to make it to where you can weather this life a little better. You can understand the world around you and your life and your role in it a little better. I mean, that's always our goal, whether we read from the Bible or not. We didn't this week, but it's always, that's always a goal. And hopefully, maybe, I don't know. I know I realized it was kind of all over the place this week. And if you're sitting there scratching your head, I apologize for that. But also I hopefully maybe something, there's something in there, help keep you grounded, help you to understand all of this around you and your role in it, because we're here in it. I mean, we're in this realm, we're in this temporal realm, we're in this world, and we got to survive this. We got to move forward. We got to do what we're supposed to do. So anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. Thank you once again, those of you who aren't shy and pay your tithes. It is very much appreciated. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week right here for the Parish of the Patriots.